When words stop meaning anything, when people can just make up anything, democracy doesn't work. Society can't work. If you can just say anything, and there are no consequences if it turns out what you're saying is not true, well, how are we going to have any kind of accountability?
Welcome once again to the Ramble Room. We're here with the full complement after a small hiatus. Welcome back, guys.
Howdy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. They're back.
Boy, howdy. Things have changed around here.
So anyway,
yeah, because now Joe's mic smells like sour cream.
It does. I don't know who was using this, but it's
or what they were using it for.
Yes, and that's it. You don't dip the mic into the sour cream, folks. It's the chips.
I didn't. I just dipped them up.
Many of you are likely familiar with a book by George Orwell called 1984.
Several days ago, Ken said something to me about someone who was talking about redefining the word bipartisan. And I couldn't remember who it was, so I looked up the article, or an article, from Fox News that was published on April 12th. And it says that President Biden vowed to bridge the bipartisan political divide, but struggling to garner Republican support for major bills, his administration appears to be changing the narrative by redefining what bipartisan means. How convenient. First, Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package passed without a single GOP vote, and now his massive infrastructure package is facing strong Republican opposition in Washington. Biden insists he does enjoy support from both parties, however, pointing to Republican voters and officials outside the Beltway. In quotes, if you look up bipartisan in the dictionary, I think it would say support from Republicans and Democrats, end quote, senior Biden advisor Anita Dunn told the Washington Post. She says, it doesn't say the Republicans have to be in Congress.
Oh, wow.
So what are we referring to, the dictionary or the Constitution?
So she thinks if you look it up, that's what it would say, but it doesn't. It says, supported by members of two political parties. Bi means two, and partisan is the party part of the word. It doesn't really have anything in the definition to do with Republican and Democrat. So no, Anita, sorry. Biden senior advisor Mike Donilon pointed to the president's new definition of bipartisan as an agenda that unifies the country and appeals across the political spectrum. In quotes, I think it's a pretty good definition to say you're pursuing an agenda that will unite the country, that will bring Democrats and Republicans together across the country, end quote.
If you get rid of all the Republicans.
Well, except for Liz Cheney.
Yeah, well.
And Mitt Romney.
Well, And here's, you know, sometimes I just don't even know what to say about this, but I think it's a pretty good definition if you say this. More of his quote, presumably, if you have an agenda that is broadly popular with Democrats and Republicans across the country, then you should have elected representatives reflecting that, end of quote. Former Obama Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel remarked on the shift in definition, telling the newspapers, quote, what's become crystal clear is that Biden has redefined bipartisan, end quote. The former Chicago mayor explained that, quote, it isn't how many Republicans I've got, but how many Republican voters or mayors and governors can I get to support my stuff?
Stuff,
yes.
Too.
And he adds, and Washington is slow to catch up to Biden's definition.
But what? Okay.
Those idiots.
So Washington is soon to catch up with Biden's definition.
Well, we hope.
What about the rest of the country that still believes that bipartisan means two party, not two party, folks.
But, yeah.
So Washington is a very small minority of the population in the...
Don't tell them that.
Right. So what about the rest of us out here in fantasy land?
Flyover land.
Yeah.
I think you'll hear, you know, that'll become clear to you because what you don't know is how much support they actually have in the rest of the country.
Okay.
Biden acknowledged the shift toward the public and away from Republican officials when discussing his American Jobs Plan in Pittsburgh at the end of March. He says, when I wrote it, everybody said I had no bipartisan support. We're overwhelming bipartisan support with Republican, registered Republican voters, Biden said. And ask around. If you live in a town with a Republican mayor, a Republican county executive, or a Republican governor, ask them how many would rather get rid of the plan. Ask them if it helped them at all. The president then added, I hope Republicans in Congress will join this effort. The changing definition of bipartisan comes at a time when Democrats have been justifying the substance of the infrastructure bill by redefining the meaning of infrastructure.
No.
It depends on what you call infrastructure. Roads and bridges and tunnels are infrastructure. But I think many of us see a crisis in human infrastructure. When a working class family can't find good quality, affordable childcare, that's human infrastructure.
Okay, so see, you're just listening to the wrong
infrastructure.
People.
So literally, I know nothing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just as long as we've got that out where
really,
everybody can hear it.
That's the whole basis of government anyway, right? Is that they have to rule over us because we're too dumb to figure this stuff out, like what words mean?
Yes, although I'm very proud of you for picking up on that.
Right.
In here without me having
to
explicitly
It's about time
say that.
We learn how dumb we are.
That's right. A very woke afternoon.
Yes. We're going to need a scotch after this.
Now, you can tell me if I'm mispronouncing anybody's names, but Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat from New York, was the first to draw attention when she tweeted, paid leave is infrastructure, child care is infrastructure, caregiving is infrastructure. This led to a chorus of criticism and mockery from lawmakers and pundits from both sides of the political spectrum. Abortion is infrastructure. Gun control is infrastructure. Forced unionization is infrastructure. Whatever the left wants is infrastructure. You know what's not? Roads and bridges. Senator Ted Cruz, a Republican from Texas, tweeted, stating that only 5% of the infrastructure bill actually dealt with roads and bridges. Just here's the dictionary definition of infrastructure, just in case you're wondering. Basic facilities, equipment, and installations needed for the functioning of a system.
Hmm. Planned Parenthood, then?
Yep.
Well, they just told us that, really.
Maybe they're talking about the scalpel or something. What is the infrastructure in an abortion? You're actually
Let's not go there.
You're actually destroying something. At that point, you're destroying a life, so what?
No. You're supporting someone's right to choose.
So you're a beam, an I-beam, maybe, leaning in to help support...
Well, I'm not sure I can explain it just from this, but let's continue.
I think you're
seeing the system as like cars moving around, and that's super close-minded. The system is bigger than all of us, and it includes everything that we do. I don't know why you're not understanding me.
And I'm going to continue
what
to not understand.
What scares me is that I do understand you.
We can know what they mean without thinking they're right. Okay. Keith Olbermann, the liberal former MSNBC host, said that while he agrees the issues Gillibrand listed are important, they are decidedly not infrastructure. He says, when you drain a word of its meaning, you damage its impact, your cause, and the value of language, Olbermann said. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm continued the trend on Sunday, telling ABC's This Week that lawmakers need to rethink the meaning of infrastructure. It's not static. In 1990, we wouldn't have thought that broadband was infrastructure because it wasn't on the scene yet. But of course, we have broadband in every pocket of the nation, Granholm said. She then added that we don't want to use past definitions of infrastructure when we're moving into the future. The same day, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, told CBS Face the Nation that Democrats would not limit the infrastructure bill to cover roads, bridges, and waterways, quote, because infrastructure is, it's about education, about getting children healthily in school with separation, sanitation, ventilation. It's about investments in housing as well, end quote. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, is that how you say that?
Booty judge.
Dang, that's nice. I give that a 10.
9.5.
You can change that. I knew I'd heard it before, but I couldn't remember because I don't care. Okay. Told NBC's Meet the Press last week that the Biden administration would like to have bipartisan legislative support for the infrastructure bill. Ooh, two in the same sentence. Bipartisan legislative support for the infrastructure bill, but indicated that a lack of it would not stop them. He says, we can't let politics slow this down to where it actually doesn't happen.
A politician said we can't let politics slow us down?
Yes.
I don't even know what to say on this subject that is
two
not
two or five.
Ridiculous.
Right.
Of course.
War is peace.
You can't say that. Math is racist.
War is peace and freedom is slavery.
Is math racist or just the answers?
Why is no one listening to my truth?
Wait, does anybody have a chart that shows me where? Because I'm still hung up on the the abortion thing and how that fits in. I can't read it.
That's the point.
Oh.
Thank you for the lovely illustration.
That no one could see.
So, rather than picking apart that article because it's so obviously stupid, I will just tell you where my mind went from this, which was to the Bible. In Isaiah, where it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." That's Isaiah 5:20 and 21.
Why did you look at me when you read that part?
Just for confirmation.
Right. I dated a girl that was shrewd once. It's awful. Anyways.
No, she was a shrew.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways.
Well, how do you think she got to be a shrew? She had to be shrewd.
Yes. We took her in and had her shrewd.
I'm wondering about all that fungus growing in our grass.
Okay, so.
So far, we've got about 40 seconds worth.
Yeah. The Principles of Newspeak was the appendix to George Orwell's book 1984, which most people have at least heard of. And that's where we get the term Big Brother, which everybody, at least I think, thinks that they know what that means. And he's just explaining how a lot of the words in his book, he's sort of giving a backstory on the development of the language. And actually, it's a development of the language.
Devolvement?
Something like that.
Devolution?
Deconstruction?
So,
going
I don't...
Going to hell?
Newspeak was the official language of Oceania, which is the country. One thing you have to remember about 1984, where you have Big Brother watching everybody, is that even in those stories, they acknowledge that nobody could be monitoring every single person in the whole world. So Oceania is where the members of the party and where the cities are and where the people do all the work. Anyway, the language had been devised to meet the ideological needs of ingsoc, or English socialism. In the year 1984, there was not as yet anyone who used Newspeak as his sole means of communication, either in speech or writing. The leading articles in the Times were written in it, but this was a tour de force which could only be carried out by a specialist. It was expected that
news... Wait. Nobody can use their common sense but a specialist.
Nobody can use the specialized language but a specialist, because it's not common yet. We're working on that.
Okay.
It was expected that Newspeak would be finally supersede Old Speak, or Standard English, as we should call it, by about the year 2050, which... when he wrote this in 1949, seemed like a really long time. It doesn't now, does it? And a lot of people will hear things about, oh, Big Brother, that's ridiculous, that's never going to happen. But if you think about the way he's talking about words, it's actually pretty scary. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, is just to make us notice stuff like this. We're making up definitions of words and so to make sure that nothing actually means anything, so that we can say whatever we want and it won't... we can't, because we would be using old speak and offending people. The purpose of Newspeak was not only to provide a medium of expression for the worldview and mental habits proper to the devotees of ingsoc, so we're all of our language has to promote the proper worldview and mental habits, but it's also to make all other modes of thought impossible. You can only think deeply if you have words with which to do that. And the purpose of Newspeak was to take that ability away. This was done partly by the invention of new words, but chiefly by eliminating undesirable words. Does that ring any bells?
Just a few.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know that I can say them because we might not ever be able to air this show.
Okay.
And they're not even bad words.
Uh-huh.
But they've become that way.
Quite apart from the suppression of definitely heretical words, reduction of vocabulary was regarded as an end in itself, and no word that could be dispensed with was allowed to survive. Newspeak was designed not to extend, but to diminish the range of thought.
At its core, what we're talking about is the idea that people think with words. And the better your vocabulary, the more accurately or the more specific you're able to think. Beyond that, they communicate ideas or transfer ideas one to the other with words. If you have a broad vocabulary, you understand different shades of meaning, and you can be very specific about what it is you're thinking about and what it is that you want to share. But if the forces that be reduce that vocabulary to where I may say something thinking one thing, and you hear it because the vocabulary is very generalized, you have an entirely different picture. You think you understand what it is I'm saying, and we look at each other and we nod, okay, I agree, I understand, and you don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Suddenly I'm biting your toes off.
Right, and if I don't, I'm not sure how that happened, but...
Misunderstanding.
When I... What's the old Steve Martin line about, I want to massage your grandmother?
I don't know
that one.
He thought he learned French, and he says, you get to the French restaurant, and he says, bleh, 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 bleh. I thought I was saying, but what I was actually saying, no, anyway, the point, we'll let Steve Martin handle his own stuff. The point being that in order for me to really clearly understand something, I have to be able to understand the thoughts of others who have gone before me. Every word represents an idea. And as ideas have been cultivated and developed, so then does the language to accommodate those ideas and to express those ideas. What was happening with Newspeak was the tearing down of the ability to communicate and of the ability to think. If you have a young person and you're trying to teach them how to think, but you don't have any words to do that, it becomes much more difficult.
Well, it kind of like the pronouns that we're using. Nobody knows what to even call each other anymore.
They don't mean anything anymore.
That's what's coming to my mind, because what you're talking about in 1984 is them limiting language. But it seems like what the left is doing is expanding language to say, well, you say woman, but because we both have a different view on what it means to be a woman, we're going to have 18 or more different types of words for a woman. And then you can't just look at me and assume that I'm a woman. You need to ask me what my pronouns are and what that means to me and what my entire life story is.
Right, which is meaningless.
So we get caught up in trying not to say something offensive, because we don't know what the rules are anymore. Like earlier you asked for a diagram. I've heard people ask the same thing when it comes to how many genders are there.
Right.
It's so confusing that we can't get to the meat of an argument because we can't get past the semantics of...
And their answer to that, their answer to that is always, it's infinite. There is no end to the pronouns, which means that none of the pronouns make any sense at all and have no meaning, no real meaning behind them.
It's kind of a defeatist attitude to try to comprehend where they're coming, because they throw up these smoke screens on pet concepts, pet ideas, and muddy the waters with words that are meaningless or you just hopelessly can't understand what they're trying to talk about. And at the same time, make other words like infrastructure that we have taken for granted that we understand, bipartisan, and saying, no, that doesn't really mean that anymore. Everything's changing. And now everybody becomes, because there's no black and white.
Right. And suddenly killing a baby is infrastructure.
I thought it was infanticide.
Yeah.
But we can't use that word, so now we're going to use the word infrastructure.
Right. And that makes it sound better because we're building something up. Like, or holding something
up. Scar tissue.
Well, this really oppressive patriarch in my life spent most of my childhood telling me words mean things. That man is in this room. But
he learned that from Rush.
So when you're in a discussion with someone, not necessarily an argument, a discussion, we have to define the terms. What do you mean by whatever? Words mean things, which is why my brilliant mother made me look up so many gosh darn words in the dictionary until I wanted to throw away the dictionary. But now all of that seems completely meaningless, because I cannot have a conversation with someone who's even 5 years younger than I am without going, I have no idea what's happening, because I use words like infrastructure or bipartisan, and I can tell you what the Latin roots are and why it means what it means, and we all accept that. And then younger people go, yeah, but in my fairy world, I think that infrastructure means whatever I want it to mean. Because there's this stripping of an absolute right and wrong and an absolute truth, which is what, was it Isaiah that you were just reading? Mm-hmm. Which is what Isaiah was talking about in that. If we remove absolute truth and we remove right and wrong, then it is kind of anybody's guess what anything means.
Right, and that's why what you were talking about with having the however infinite number of genders might sound like doing the opposite of this, but it's actually just two ends of the same thing.
It has the same...
It's making the word meaningless.
Right.
No matter if you're expanding it or bringing it down to... boiling it down to...
Right. They're still taking away your ability to think about it properly and to have a black and white.
God looked down and he saw men building a tower even into heaven. And he said, if I let them go as one mind, they'll be able to do anything. So he sought to confound their language. And we call that the Tower of Babel. So as they listened to each other, it was just babbling. And what happens when people can't communicate is everybody just becomes withdrawn, becomes their own self, and it moves toward chaos.
Which is interesting because we've talked about that before, Joseph and I, in terms of the Tower of Babel spread everybody out because it confused their language. And now in the age of the internet, we can talk to anybody about anything.
And we're still very confused.
Because we don't know what everybody means by everything. And that's not just a language barrier like us talking to a Mexican or a Chinese person. We can't even define the terms rationally. So how are we supposed to communicate? If we can't communicate, how are we supposed to anything?
In that sentence, even, you have said something that some people take as racist.
Right.
So you can't say Mexican anymore.
Or Chinese.
Right.
Thanks, Trump.
I can still say it.
Yeah. But people take it in completely different ways than what you mean.
I just sit here wondering... Is God the one that's responsible for destroying the language again?
Possibly.
I certainly hope
what is
so.
It that mankind, I mean, what is it that mankind is trying to achieve? And I think there is an answer here. They're trying to achieve some sort of control. But rather than it be the masses all in control, which is as close as we came to that was we the people in the United States of America. But now you have an elite. And I shouldn't say now, they've always existed. You have an elite who wants to be in control and to control the masses. And so they're trying to play God by enacting their own Tower of Babel, destroying the language to divide and conquer the people, thereby reserving for themselves a position of power.
Well, and to answer your question.
Was it a question?
What's that?
Was it a question?
There was
yes,
a question.
Yes, you said, is God behind this?
Yeah.
You raised your voice at the end?
Nothing happens without God. So, yeah, he's responsible.
But he doesn't even have to breed chaos. He has to do is remove his hand slowly, and we do that all on our own.
Right.
Right. But my point is that these elites are trying to be God.
Right.
You look at the conversation we just had and say, well, is God behind this? Is God confounding the language? No, God's not doing this. Somebody who wants to be God is doing
this. But God has to allow it to happen.
Sure.
And so therefore, God is responsible.
Well, and he took full responsibility
of all of it. I don't disagree.
Right, I think we're perfectly capable of messing everything up all on our own.
Actually, we're brilliant at it.
Oh, yeah, and it is interesting how, I think it's probably been 25 years ago that I said, when we got a computer, and it was before Google and all those things, but lots of stuff was happening very quickly. And I said, it's the Tower of Babel again. We're trying to make everybody speak the same language, and that's not going to go well because it didn't the first time around.
Back when you were dying of dysentery every 15 minutes on Oregon Trail?
Not when we first quite that far back.
This is happening quickly.
I never died of dysentery.
No?
No.
Starvation?
Not yet.
Okay.
Loneliness.
Boredom.
Died of self-wallering and suffering.
Wallering. That sounds more like it. Hmm. Anyway.
Wallering is a word.
Okay. Well, you think you got the dysentery.
Is wallering in
it? Did you have more?
Oh, no, but I would encourage people to go look this up. If you just Google the principles of Newspeak, you can find the text of it and read it for yourself and see if anything rings a bell. And if it doesn't, maybe you also need a dictionary or something. Because I think one of the things that Sarah said about the fact that I made her look up all kinds of words in the dictionary is that she knows that there are actual definitions of words, whether she liked the work or not. And I'm afraid that newer generations maybe don't know that. And that was one of the things I was going to say before, is that to us this sounds a little bit crazy, but one of the points of the Newspeak was that they understood that there's nothing they can do with us old people. We know too much. So they're gonna condition the younger mm-hmm. ones. Yeah. They're going to condition the next generation. You know, you guys, you're still probably kind of incorrigible. But it won't take very long before we have a couple of generations of people that don't remember the old speak, and they can do this to them. So it's not, they understand that it's going to take a little while, but pretty soon there won't be anybody left who will understand what we're complaining about.
Back in the 70s, I used to watch William F. Buckley on Firing Line. Buckley had this massive
vocabulary.
Yeah, it's hard to think of the word.
Huge tracts of land.
Buckley had this massive vocabulary, and I was used to listening to him, and I was constantly having to look up words, but it was a mind-expanding thing. And about that time, I read 1984, and I think in 1979 I did a term paper on it. And I read this very article back then, and I was struck at how true it was then. Skip forward 40, 45 years, and it is terrifying.
Well, if you ask the average, let's say 25-year-old, what does that word mean? They get out their phone, they go onto Google, and say, hey, Google, what does this word mean? And Google offers them Google's definition of the word. And they have done this with so many things. If you ask Alexa, it's a completely different answer. When you were having us look up words in the dictionary, that was a written, printed, published, lots of people put their approval on this, and we're all accepting it as this is the standard by which we...
It was a black and white standard, right?
Yes. Now, because everything's on the internet and in clouds, it's all fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. That's why I rolled my eyes earlier when you were reading the quote where somebody said it's not static. Like, static is bad. It's, nothing can just stay the way that it is. We have to constantly keep evolving and changing and expanding our consciousness by changing definitions. And if you have a 25-year-old who doesn't know how to use an actual dictionary, all they know is I can ask Google or Wikipedia or whatever, and Wikipedia is fluid, it's not static, it's constantly changing. How can you even hope to understand how to even figure out?
How do you even know that you could have the stability of knowing those things?
But that's partly why there are so many younger people who say, this is my opinion. And then when they're confronted with an opposing idea, they go, well, I'm not really sure why I think that. I just really, really do.
I feel like
that's it. Because in my experience or whatever, because of my hashtag da-da-da, I feel like this is my truth.
Which is why I keep going back to, you shouldn't have an opinion until you have been exposed to the arguments that have gone on before, to people who have thought and hashed these things out ad infinitum. You may get a wacky idea and think it's wonderful, and nobody around you is capable of making the argument that might have been made 200 years ago by someone else who can explain to you why or what the flaws are with your thinking. Pretty quick it comes down to nobody knows anything about history, nobody knows anything about all of the work that our predecessors have done to develop thought, and we revert back to chaos.
Well, and that's happening very quickly.
Yes.
I mean, you talk to, you know, college students, and they don't know what a continent is. I mean, I
know what incontinence is.
I wasn't the best student in the world. Not too long ago, maybe a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, a girl that was going to college, had been in college for 2 years, asked me is Asia a country? And I said, it's a continent. And I don't have the best education. And I said, it is the world's largest continent. And she looked at me in astonishment. What are we calling all of these people Asians? It's not like Americans and Canadians. It's so ridiculous how uneducated a college student is compared to a ninth grade education that I have. It is kind of sad.
They are highly educated in all of the wrong areas.
Right.
They are highly educated and trained in social justice, whatever. But they are tearing down math because it's racist. They're tearing down history because it's racist. They're tearing down science because it's religion-based.
Language
itself.
They're
tearing down language, which is kind of what we're talking about today, because what was it? Somebody that I knew that I won't mention on this podcast used to say, words don't control people, people control people. Right? But how do you control your thoughts? And if you can't control your thoughts, how do you control your actions? How do you control your habits? That stupid, it's not a cat poster, but something like that.
Well, there's
all
a scripture
of these things
there.
Come from what is in your thoughts. And if your thoughts are, I don't have any basis, like you were talking about, any foundation for what I think and why, what's the point of it? Which is why suicide rates are skyrocketing. Yeah.
Because of the words.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
I wouldn't go as far as to say they're all because of words, but that
are
elevated
we still
quickly.
Allowed to call each other grammar Nazis? Or is that...
Well, I think you can call people Nazis as long as
they're straight
white
man.
That's another one of those words that the definition has changed, though.
But my grammar is not a straight white male.
It isn't?
She.
She wasn't.
It.
You're assuming her pronouns.
They, them.
Let's get grandma on the phone and ask her what she identifies as.
So we're going to have a seance.
Yep. Okay, a couple of other things. In Newspeak, euphony, which is good sound, outweighed every consideration other than exactitude of meaning. Regularity of grammar was also sacrificed to it when it seemed necessary, and rightly so, since that was required above all for political purposes. What was required above all for I can't say it. And rightly so, since what was required above all for political purposes was short, clipped words of unmistakable meaning, which could be uttered rapidly and which roused a minimum of echoes in the speaker's mind.
Four-letter words.
Yes.
Did you say clipped words?
I heard
words?
Roused
clipped.
In there, too.
We were just at a family event, which is why we weren't here, and there was a young girl there, and she was introducing me to a new word that I have completely forgotten because I didn't care. But part of my irritation at the word she was saying, this is the new thing that everybody's saying, and it drives her crazy too, it's a word that they have just clipped. So you just say the first syllable of the word, and that's the cool way to speak. Brilliant, George
like
Orwell.
They
brilliant.
I know, like they just made that up.
Like,
so,
what's the sitch? That's a thing that people said for a while. As in, what's the situation?
Oh,
they do that to words all the time.
I missed that one.
I was hearing a lot of that.
I was stuck on words like waller.
This is wallering on out.
See, that's a word there. That's a definition.
Witchy, did you?
Well, okay, so after the use of those clipped words encouraged a gabbling style of speech at once staccato and monotonous, and this was exactly what was aimed at. The intention was to make speech, and especially speech on any subject not ideologically neutral, as nearly as impossible as possible, independent of consciousness.
It's stunning how accurate he is.
I know. So one more, let's see. Each reduction of the language was a gain, since the smaller the area of choice, the smaller the temptation to take thought. Ultimately, it was hoped to make articulate speech issue from the larynx without involving the higher brain centers at all. This aim was frankly admitted in the Newspeak word duck speak, meaning to quack like a duck. Like various other words in the B vocabulary, duck speak was ambivalent in meaning. Provided that the opinions which were quacked out were orthodox ones, it implied nothing but praise.
Now they're tweeted.
Yeah. Yep. And when the Times referred to one of the orators of the party as a double plus good duck speaker, it was paying a warm and valued compliment.
Ooh, a double plus duck speaker.
You know double what, plus good.
Oh.
You know what duck speak is now?
Texting.
Is vocal fry.
Kind of, except that that sort of drags things out.
Except that you sound literally like a duck that's been strangled and it didn't work.
You have that AOC look in your eye.
Well, we literally need to change our way of thinking about infrastructure.
To not thinking.
Not infra. Infa.
Yeah.
Infrastructure.
We need to change our way of thinking to not thinking. We need to be as nearly as possible independent of consciousness when we speak. And that's what made me think of it was, what it made me think of was emojis.
Yes.
And texting.
We were just having this conversation with another old couple the other day, old as in our age, about how kids don't know how to talk to each other. You can go to the park and see a bunch of teenagers sitting at a table texting each other. Because they are using emojis to communicate emotions instead of looking up right. and going.
But if you
and
walk,
smiling at each
if
other.
You walk over and use your words with these people, they are socially awkward.
Yes.
And standoffish, and they don't really want to talk to you. It's like, why aren't you texting me?
Why are you at the park in public, but in the wide open spaces, if you can't talk to people?
So I suppose the takeaway is that we need to encourage people to. Read 1984, buy a dictionary, and stop watching mass media.
That would be lovely.
Instead, you can go to crosscreekmedia.com and find everything you need to know.
Nice plug. While we're at it, don't forget you can listen to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and on Podbean, which is Ken's favorite.
Yeah, Ken loves Podbean.
Yeah, don't use the app. Just go to the site.
Use the app.
Use the
app. You know what? It's your truth. If you want to use the app, you use the app.
However, if your phone is over 10 years old, don't use the app. It'll blow up.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ramble Room. This is Joseph Applegate, pronouns he, him. I also identify as the color periwinkle blue. I like long walks on the beach, but I don't like to get wet because sometimes my wrapper falls off. And by long walks on the beach, I mean screaming moments of terror because I'm scared that the sun will melt my crayon skin.
Thank God we got that on tape. So this is the Joseph Applegate show. He's here by himself.
Everybody just left me.
We should turn it over to Diane.
I don't want it.
Don't touch that.